Teen Life podcast listeners, I think I just stumped Carly Duke on this totally just turned around.
You asked me what it meant. You didn't ask me where it came from.
I know. This is enjoyable.
So that is my best guess.
Hey guys, welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we believe that teenagers are not a problem to be solved, but we are here to help you equip teenagers through the power of connection. I'm Chris Roby.
And I'm Carly Duke.
And today we are going to talk about secrecy. That was exactly my idea too.
Hey, we're on the same page today.
But I did not put my finger next to my lips because we're recording a podcast. And people couldn't see that.
You can't see that. Perfect.
Right.
Yeah, so secrecy, and that could mean a lot of things, obviously, but today we're especially going to talk through secrecy online and on their cell phones and what they're using and maybe how teenagers are hiding things from parents or other adults.
And this is a tough topic. If you just to reference a previous episode where we talked about adolescent development, this is kind of one of those things that comes with the territory is as teenagers are becoming adults, they want to do so in a developmentally appropriate way, and secrecy is a part of that, where they want to be more to themselves and less open with their parents or with the other adults in their lives. And as an adult, that can be really off-putting, but to be able to see it, if we're able to do it in a healthy way, as really part of growing up.
Exactly. So one thing I want to talk about, Chris, is Finstas. Now, I don't know if you or audience has heard of Finstas, but these used to be fake Instagrams is what they stood for.
Okay.
And years ago, maybe, I don't know, 3 to 5 years ago, these were especially popular, where a lot of our teenagers would have an Instagram that was public, that anyone could follow, especially parents would follow. But then they'd have a Finsta that was private, and they would only let certain people follow that. And that is where, and they did this with Twitter too. They would have fake Twitter accounts. But this is where they would post things that maybe they didn't want adults or outsiders to be able to see. And interestingly enough, because these haven't been around that long, apparently they are no longer cool.
Just that quick. It's amazing. We were talking about as we were preparing for this, how quickly these trends develop and fade away. And you would assume something like a fake Instagram account would be something that would be here to stay. But Carly, tell us what's changed with Instagram where teenagers aren't using those features anymore?
Right. So that was a trend and it's not really trendy anymore. And so that's why maybe you would see teenagers not doing Finstagrams or Finstas as much. One thing, Instagram has made it now where in stories, you can post stories to close friends is what they call it.
And close friends, you, the user, determine who those close friends are?
Exactly. Okay. So I can go into my stories. I can choose my list of close friends. So I can pick exactly who I want to see those stories. And then when I post it to my stories, I can choose, do I want everyone to see this who follows me? Or do I want just my close friends to see this? And so that is a way that you can post something, it only stays on there for 24 hours. So it's not in there forever. You don't have to worry about likes, comments, what that looks like to the outside. And you can also send it to just the people you want to see it. And so they can do that without having to worry about two different Instagram accounts.
That's really interesting that Instagram saw that and decided to give the user a choice on who would be able to see what. And it's good as parents and helpers to be able to know that's a thing now. I'm not a big user of Instagram, but I had no idea that was a feature.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll talk about Instagram more in depth in another podcast episode, but it's fascinating to me just anecdotally when I'm looking at teenagers' Instagram accounts. For example, I have a ton of posts. I don't post every day, but I will post more often. And when you look at a teenager's accounts, they might have 3 or 4 pictures.
Interesting.
And what's interesting is like there was one I went to recently and they used to have more and now they only have 2. Like they'll go through and be like, oh, that's old, delete. They delete their posts like nobody's business, but everything is in stories. They'll post stories multiple times a day, every day, but they'll post twice a year.
So like Carly said, we'll go deeper in Instagram, but just for the context of this story, do stories last? Like when you post a story, is that something that's permanent or does it go away?
No, so that's what I'm saying. So it is 24 hours from when you post it. However, it can be screenshot. You can go back and find it. So there's an archive that teenagers can go back into their Instagram. Or I suppose if you're an adult and you're looking at it with them, you could go back in their archive and look at that and find those again. They can save them to their phone, but they disappear after 24 hours.
So one thing that this makes me curious about, and I don't think I have the answer to this, and I think maybe you, the listener, can ask a teenager in your life, is this trend of deleting old posts, is it, because there's a lot more education out there about online safety, about the things that you post exist forever. And is there more awareness now that that's a reality for teenagers, that I need to be careful about what I leave out there? Or is it just purely secrecy? I don't want anyone seeing my stuff.
I think it's part awareness. I think it's part, for example, I remember in high school, I went back at one point and deleted every picture on social media of me in braces. Mm-hmm. Like, as a high school senior, I was like, that does not need to be on the internet anymore.
Wow.
And so I think this is their way of doing like, oh, that was old. That's embarrassing. I'm going to delete it. Hmm. You'll also see teenagers delete stuff if they don't get as many likes as they thought they should. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of teenagers have a threshold of, if I don't get this many likes or this many comments, I'm deleting it because it didn't hit. And so
that's a great question to ask a teenager in your life is, what is your threshold for mm-hmm. likes? Because they all have a different one, mm-hmm. but they have it.
Exactly. And so that is one thing that you'll see. Close friends, Snapchat has private stories as well, where you can post stories just to certain people. And so that's kind of taking over Finstas on social media.
Gotcha.
Another thing that we want you to be aware of is teenagers know how to hide apps or pictures on their phones.
Really?
And so especially teenagers maybe who have parents who won't let them have Snapchat, there are ways for them to put Snapchat on their phone and you looking at it would not be able to find it or know that it was there.
So how do they do that? That seems like that's a magic trick or wizardry.
Wizardry.
Yeah.
First of all, quick tip in here, and I've probably said this before, if you were ever in question about this, please Google. Your teenagers Google stuff constantly and adults don't. And then they're like, I don't know how to do that. Just they're Googling it. Mm-hmm. I literally put in Google, like, hiding an app, and I could find step by step on how to do that.
Hmm.
So one thing they're doing is they could bury an app in a folder. So if you especially have Android or iPhone, they'll put it in there and then they'll move it to like the last page in that folder. So to get to it, when you're looking at it, you wouldn't see the icon, but you would have to scroll and then it's there. So it's buried. There's also a way in your settings. This is for iPhones, but you can go to settings and we'll put this in the show notes as well. But there's a way to go to like Siri and search, and then you find the app that you want, and you could toggle off from like learn this app, show and search, and show an app. So if you ask Siri for it, it's not going to pull it up. Huh. If you put it in the search bar, it's not going to pull it up. So if you're a parent and you're like, well, I'm going to get around them burying it in the folder, I'm going to search for it, it still wouldn't pull up if they've changed those settings.
Wow.
So
diabolical.
I know. They know what they're doing. People have figured this out, especially who have boundaries and are trying to get around them. There is a way to get around them.
Yeah. And if you're listening to this and you're like, man, y'all are teaching my kid how to do this, and like it's a Google search. They already know.
Exactly.
we're the ones that tend to be a step behind, which with the digital world, that's a tough place for an adult to be when your teenager is actually ahead of the game on that, which is usually the case.
Exactly. Another thing too, and this has been around for a long time, but they make app lockers or like vault applications. One that's been popular, I've seen the calculator app. I don't know if you've seen this, but
yeah.
It looks like a calculator. The icon is exactly like a calculator. You can pull it up and it'll function as a calculator. So as a parent, you wouldn't know, but they put a password in on the calculator function and then it takes them into a folder. And that's where they can keep photos, videos, apps. There's one app I was looking at. I just Googled in the app store. I think App Locker, App Vault, and several came up. And there's one that it'll change the icons on your apps. And so if there's one you're trying to hide from a parent, you could change the icon so they wouldn't know what that was.
So as a helper, as a parent with this information, what do we do with this? this is a harder one, I think, especially if the calculator app, I mean, that's pretty hard to suss out, I would think.
Yeah, I think so too. And this is where conversation and discussion is so important,
mm-hmm.
and asking questions. And also making sure you have the type of relationship with a teenager where hopefully they wouldn't feel the need to hide that, but where they understand where you're coming from. And you can also say, are there any apps that you wish you could have that we wouldn't allow you to have? And what does that look like? And having that conversation, I mean, you could also straight up ask them like, hey, I heard about this. Have any of your friends used it? And watch their face. Because if you're asking, be careful, please. Don't go and assume that your teenagers are using these or that they're hiding things from you. You can also ask things like, hey, do you ever post close friend stories? Who's in your close friends? I'm just curious. What kinds of things do your friends post? Because it's probably not, I think as adults, we can sometimes assume the worst when there's secrecy. And a lot of times it's not bad. It's silly. I have things that my close friends post. It's just stuff that would just apply to me, or it might be an inside joke, or it might be something that outside people wouldn't know or want to see, but it's not necessarily bad.
And I think that's good perspective, Carly, because I think that is where so many people get in trouble with like a viral post, is that maybe they were talking to someone specific, or that it was in the context of a certain relationship that people don't understand. And so a lot of times that gets pulled out and people get canceled, whatever that looks like, when maybe these close friends things, you can do that now, right? You can actually share in context with a friend group and not have it be pulled out of context.
Exactly. And so we would encourage you, when it comes to secrecy, be aware of these things so that you know to ask questions, so that you know to look for those things. But most importantly, just be in conversation with your student. Okay, Chris, are you ready to go back to teen terms 2.0?
2.0, man, I think I failed 1.0. So I feel like people have been requesting this segment since the first one.
I feel like this one was really popular. We got great feedback the first time we did it. And there are already different terms.
Oh, yeah. We got several like, hey, you missed this one. You missed this one. Like, all right, we'll go back.
Exactly. So let's dive into some of these, Chris. What about slaps?
I was aware of this one. I actually used it in a post, ironically, but I wasn't prepared to own it as something I would actually say.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. I posted there's a really cool music video, and I said this, as the teens would say, slaps.
Slaps.
Yep.
So it's when something's good. They, especially teenagers, I especially seen this used in the context of food. Which is interesting, but when something tastes good, it slaps.
What does slaps mean? Like, is it high five? Is it
So I would say another thing they might say is like, it hits. I think I even said that earlier in this, like, man, it just gets you kind of thing is, I think, is what that's going like, that hits the spot that is.
Teen Life Podcast listeners, I think I just stumped Carly Duke on this totally just turned around.
You asked me what it meant. You didn't ask me where it came from.
I know. This is enjoyable.
So that is my best guess, is that it means like slapping good time.
There we go. Got it.
Exactly.
All right.
Okay. What about bussin'?
I have no clue on this one.
So this one, they have lots of words for good or like exciting. So this one is, something is bussin'. It's really good. It's often also used in place of sexy.
Okay.
So there was a TikTok trend sound / just pop song that was, it was bussin'. And they say that one a lot. So that's bussin'. So you could almost use slaps and bussin' similarly sometimes.
I'll stick with slaps.
But you could also say that girl is bussin'.
Okay. Okay.
And makes more of a sexual content.
Gotcha.
Context
gotcha.
Can go there too.
All right.
Okay. What about drip?
I heard it in a Andy Mineo rap song, and I don't really know what it means.
So this one, you could replace it with fit. Remember that one from last time?
Yeah, vaguely.
So like your outfit or your clothes is your drip.
Wow.
They used to say you could have in the past heard drippin'. That's drippin'. I would not say that one's as popular anymore. That's not really a trending term, but your drip would be your outfit.
Okay. So they just short dripping to drip.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Another shortened word, sus.
Okay. I've seen this one, and I think I might have even Googled it one time, but I don't actually know what this means.
So it'd be like suspect, suspicious, shady.
Oh.
So if you have a Finsta, you're sus.
A sus. Oh, okay. I gotcha. See, I feel like I could use that one.
Yeah. So someone is sus. Something could be sus.
Hmm.
Lots of things there.
I'm using that one.
Okay. What about this one? This makes me laugh and I see it all the time. But when they go, sheesh.
You startled me a little bit there. I feel like maybe we talked about this at one point off,
have you heard
off air.
This?
I think it was you that was telling me about it, that you thought it was really funny, but we had no idea what it was.
So a lot of times they will point fingers at their like inside of their elbow and yell, sheesh.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I don't know the, I'm going to look this up and we'll put it in a different podcast probably, the actual background on it. It's not related to drugs.
Okay.
I heard somewhere that it's like ice in your veins, like sheesh, but this could be used anywhere. If you look it up on Urban Dictionary, it just depends. It depends on the tone. It could be when you're excited, like, hey, you want to go do this? Like sheesh, and they can say that. Or if someone maybe disses something or says something they don't want to, they could be like, oh, sheesh.
Okay.
Like it can be different. Or I see TikToks all the time. And if one person yells, sheesh, then you will hear it. Sheesh, 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 sheesh. Like they will bounce around. Like, and if you get into the teacher TikToks, they post about this all the time because they say you'll just walk through the hallways, especially middle schoolers, and you hear this word over and over and over and over again. They just bounce it along. So sometimes they just say it for no reason, just to say it.
Carly, I'm no expert in teen terms, obviously, but I would predict this one has a very short shelf life.
Probably.
Probably so. It's probably really funny, but I could see us, if we did 3.0, this one might not be around anymore.
My guess is middle schoolers are using this and high schoolers are probably using it more ironically.
Gotcha.
Would be my guess.
Gotcha.
So I'm not saying that they're not using it, but they would use it more ironically. But your younger kids probably think this one's really cool.
Gotcha.
Okay, what about noob?
Oh, yeah, I got this one. The inexperienced.
Yes.
Never, yeah, I played enough video games to
so
hear this one.
This one probably isn't new, but a newbie, someone who doesn't know what they're doing, they're bad at something.
Mm-hmm. My 10-year-old uses this.
Perfect.
So, yeah.
Love that. Mm-hmm. Okay, and flex.
I got an idea, but it's, I don't know. How would you define it?
So flex obviously would be showing off your muscles, but they use it in the context of like just to show off. Like I'm going to flex on someone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so not necessarily physically flexing, but like I'm going to show you up or I'm going to show how strong I am or how good I am at something. I'm going to flex.
Yeah. This is usually used in derogatory terms. I feel like look at them flexing over there or whatever. Like it's never a compliment. I don't feel like.
Exactly. And then our last word is simp or simpin.
Okay. I actually am lost on that one.
So this one's interesting, but this is someone in past terms, maybe someone who's whipped by a girlfriend, especially they're going to put their girl before their friends.
Hmm.
So this one is typically used negatively.
Okay.
You don't want to be a simp. You don't want to be simping. But I feel like I've heard it more in the context of guys or simps. You don't hear it used as much for girls.
Hmm.
But if they are doing whatever their girlfriend tells them, or I can't do this because I'm going out with my girl, he's a simp.
It's a simp. I would not want to be called that, even if I didn't know what it meant.
Exactly. That one's not a good one.
This doesn't sound great.
So those are our teen terms. We will keep compiling a list. If there's a word that you've heard that you're like, I don't know what this means, will Teen Life cover it? Find us on social media. You can find us online at teenlifepodcast.com. Or you can email us at podcast@teenlife.ngo and send us your words.
I want to do 3.0.
Exactly.
Yeah.
These are always fun. And like I said, Urban Dictionary is a great way to find out some of this stuff. But sometimes you got to really dig for it.
That's right. All right, Carly, for the tip, I came across this kind of mental exercise a couple weeks ago that I thought was really helpful. And we talked about it offline. And I've thought about this quite a bit, especially when it comes to difficult or challenging tasks. Everyone who's a parent or works with teenagers have been around the kids who they call it senioritis, or you know, summer's coming and they just don't want to do anything.
Right.
They're just dragging them out of bed because they're done. And this idea came about is, how would I feel if this is the last time I ever had to do this? How would I feel about this if this was it? So like this morning, my son woke up. He goes, "Dad, is it Friday?" I'm like, "No, it's Wednesday." He's like, "Oh, let's make believe that it's Friday. How are you going to attack this thing?" Mm-hmm. And it really changes how you your perspective on things, especially if there is maybe a bad habit or something you're just trying to kick or something you know you do. I shouldn't be doing that or whatever. Is what if this is the last time I ever did this? And it takes the weight off a little bit. It helps relieve that tension of having to do the thing you don't want to do. If this is the last time, how would that feel?
Hmm. Well, I think that is so interesting. I love that perspective change. And I think too, in the context of if there's something that you're really not looking forward to, a lot of times I'll tell myself, I just have to get through an hour mm-hmm. and then I'm done. Mm-hmm. So kind of that same, if this was the last time I ever had to do this, giving like, there's an endpoint to this mm-hmm. and this doesn't have to go on forever.
Mm-hmm.
And almost that going back to strengths and overcoming obstacles, like you can do this. Mm-hmm. You've done it in the past. Can you do it one more time?
And this is a resilience building exercise mm-hmm. because aside from this mental challenge, it is when you get through a hard thing, you are more likely able to do that hard thing again.
Right.
It builds that resilience where, oh, I can actually do that. You know, today was something I didn't look forward to, but I did it. And if something like this, how would I feel if this is the last time I ever had to do this? If this is something that can help you get through that, that could be a really big thing.
And I could be wrong, but there are probably things too that you might not be looking forward to. But if someone said, but what if this was the last time you ever had to do that? You're like, wait, I would miss that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Or I do wish I could do more of that. Mm-hmm. And so there might be some of that too, that you could put in context of like, man, I wasn't looking forward to this, but man, if this was the last and I never got to do it again, I would miss it. So I'm going to hang mm-hmm. on to this. Mm-hmm.
All right, that's a wrap on this one. Thank you so much for listening. A special thanks to Carly Duke and to Kelly Fan for producing this podcast. Also to Luke Cabrera for our awesome podcast music. If you want to know more about Luke and his music, check out his contact info in the description. Well, this podcast is for the helpers, and we really hope you feel helped. If there's something we haven't talked about or a topic that you're really interested in, email us at podcast@teenlife.ngo, and we will do our best to get to that topic. We will see you next week.